time to unleash your inner cowboy with the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Now, here's your host, Alyssa Barnes.
Hey guys, thanks for tuning in to episode number 8 of the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Today, my featured guest is PBR bull rider Wiley Peterson. Wiley had a really successful career as a PBR bull rider, and he retired in 2012. He's now helping other bull riders to develop their skills through his company, Bull Rider Coach. So if you're a PBR fan or you have an interest in getting started in bull riding yourself, I think you're really going to enjoy this episode with Wiley. One last thing before we get started, I just want to thank all of you who have been so kind to go to iTunes and leave me a rating or review for the Earn Your Spurs podcast. It's been really helpful in getting the podcast ranked and helping other people that might be interested in the subject matter to find it as well. So thank you so much for doing that. And if you haven't done so already and would like to hop on over to iTunes and take a couple minutes to leave a quick review, I would be super appreciative of that. Now, without further ado, let's get started with my interview with Wiley Peterson. Wiley Peterson was hooked on bull riding at 10 years old with dreams of becoming a professional bull rider. For anyone who's followed the PBR, you already know he went on to do just that. He qualified for 10 PBR World Finals events and has over $1.4 million in career earnings. In addition to being a great bull rider, Wiley is also an ordained minister and an NASM personal trainer. Wiley, thank you so much for being on the show today.
My pleasure. Glad to be on.
So you have had an amazing career in bull riding, and I would just love for you to kind of tell us about how you got started and give us the highlights and sort of walk us through your history.
All right. Yeah. Well, I was about 10 years old, and well, I guess I should start at the beginning. I grew up kind of around cowboys, you know, rodeo family. My dad rode saddle broncs when he was younger, and my mom did barrel racing, a lot of horse riding when they were kids. So the rodeo world was somewhat familiar to me. I didn't actually start competing in rodeo till I was 10 years old. And the way that happened was I met this kid and he was friends with my mom, or his mom was friends with my mom, something like that. And he had some buckles or trophies or something that he had at his house, and it was for steer riding. And I thought, man, that looks pretty cool. I want to try that. So I started asking my mom, started bugging her about getting into rodeo. And so she's like, all right, you know, we'll give it a shot. She didn't think it'd, you know, take off like it did. And so I got in there, went and got on that first steer. Didn't last very long, but just I was immediately hooked. I just thought, man, that was the best thing I've ever done. And so it just became kind of my thing, my passion, you know. And I just started working at it. My grandpa, he used to ride bulls when he was younger, so he always gave me some pointers and tips and stuff. And so he was kind of like my coach, I guess. My dad helped too. He gave me some good pointers and entered me in rodeos and stuff like that. So just had a lot of good family support to be able to do it. And it just kind of kept growing, and I kept kind of climbing the ranks, I guess. Kind of each stage is kind of like little league to high school to college to pro. And that's kind of the steps that I took to get where I eventually got to, I guess. So yeah, it just started as try it, and just took off as a dream of mine. And it just, I was amazed at how, you know, I guess how far I went with it. I never would have real imagined that I could say that I've won over $1 million riding bulls. You know, that's just, to me, that's crazy to think that, but it's definitely possible.
Well, yeah, I mean, you've obviously had an amazing career, and there's so many people who who start out wanting to ride bulls and never make it, you know, half as far as you did. But what was it? I mean, obviously it's not easy to reach the level that you did in professional bull riding. So what do you think was it that just kept driving you on to succeed?
Well, I mean, I set goals. I'm very goal oriented. So if I set a goal, I'm very determined to reach that goal, almost to a point of being too much, like a perfectionist. You know, I hate failing, I guess. So once I set it to be my goal to become a professional bull rider, I was going to do everything possible to make that happen. And you know, like you said, a lot of people try to become professional bull riders, but a lot of people don't ever make it. So I can't say that it was all me. I obviously had to have a lot of support from my family and friends and things like that. And then I also had to have, you know, I don't call it luck. I call it good fortune from the Lord, you know, just being healthy, not getting hurt or anything like that. And I know I did try to make good choices, tried to stay away from the drugs and the alcohol. And I tried to work out on a regular basis so that I was fully prepared to do what I needed to do. And fortunately it worked out and I was able to do that. So yeah, it's definitely a tough career to make it, I guess. But you definitely, if you don't put all the right ingredients together, that small chance that you would have had is even smaller because of the choices you make. And that's, you know, that's what I try to tell people is try to put together all the things that you need to be successful and then go at it, give it everything you got. And then if it doesn't work out, at least you can say, well, I didn't leave anything to doubt. You know, I put it all, I gave it all, I did it all and did it the right way. So no regrets doing it that way.
Yeah, well, that's great advice for anybody who wants to follow this path. I'm just curious, is there any one bull ride from your career that kind of stands out to you the most?
Yeah, that's pretty easy for me. That's my ride on Little Yellow Jacket. It was in Billings 2003, and I was 94 points on him to win the Billings Invitational. And so that was the highlight of my career. Of all the rides, you know, people ask me that quite often, is what's my favorite ride. That one was definitely my favorite, just because of it was, everything was, you know, the event title was on the line. I had to ride that bull to win it. He'd bucked me off two or three times before that. So it was kind of like all the odds were against me, and it all worked out. I ended up winning the event and made the best ride of my life.
Wow, that's awesome. That must be a huge personal victory for you.
Yeah, I use that story quite a bit when I'm talking to guys too, because I learned something during that ride or in that situation. You know, I was actually, as I was waiting to get on the bull, you know, basically I'm in the lead, I'm waiting for all these other guys to go, you know, to ride their second round bull to see who goes to the short round. And I was kind of hoping somebody would bump me down so I wouldn't have to get on Little Yellow Jacket. So I was kind of dreading the bull, you know. I'm like, I don't want to get on that one. He's too rank, you know. I was kind of making him better than me. And I just stopped myself and I thought, what am I doing? You know, I'm basically just beating myself before the ride even starts. And so I said, all right, I'm going to stop thinking this way. I got to quit making him better than me. And I got to start thinking, all right, I'm getting on the bull, so there's a shot that I can ride the bull. I'm either going to be 90-something or nothing. And that was a good lesson for me to learn that, you know, whatever situation you're faced with, your attitude a lot of times will determine the outcome of that situation. So if you go into an event or a situation thinking, there's no hope here, there's no way, it's all impossible, you know, it's way too hard, this and that, well, you're probably going to fail. But if you think, all right, there is a shot, there is a chance here, it's not impossible, your chances of victory will increase, and you might surprise yourself like I did that day, you know, for me. So it was a good lesson.
Well, that's a great lesson for anybody in any situation, really. I mean, not just bull riding, because so many of us sort of, you know, we do the same things. It's a self-defeating thought in our head where we think we're going to get beat before we ever try to do something. So that's a good lesson for anyone to learn. So you've mentioned before you have two sons, right?
Yeah, two boys. Yeah.
And neither one of them ride bulls.
Right.
And I mean, how do you feel about that? Were they ever interested in it, or was that something that you encouraged or discouraged?
They were, well, my oldest, he's 17, so he's my stepson. So he was six when my wife and I got married. So he was kind of past the point of, I don't know, basically when him and I got to know each other, I was already a professional bull rider. So it, for him, it was, oh, that's a cool job that my stepdad has. But it was never, you know, he was already into baseball by that time. He started like when he was three or four. So he was, baseball was kind of his favorite sport already. He did, when he was about 9 or 10, he wanted to get on some steers. And so I said, all right, yeah, well, you know, I'll go get you on some steers. That's a good, something to try. You know, I think I encourage our kids to try all kinds of different sports, see which ones they like, and then kind of go from there. And so I kind of gave him the pep talk before, couple days or so before, and just started telling him, you know, okay, when we get there, we're not gonna show up, and then you're gonna get scared, and we're gonna leave. You gotta go through with this. You can't sign up and then quit. You know, you don't want to let fear stop you. You don't want to give in to fear. And so, you know, we talked about it, and we got there, and he got, you know, this just at a friend's house that had some steers or calves or whatever. And so it was pretty controlled, pretty safe, you know, and he was pretty nervous, but he got down in there and got on. And I think the first one, the guys grabbed the tail of the calf and kind of held it and slowed it down for him, you know, and he came off maybe three or four jumps, you know, and he thought it was pretty fun. And so he got on another one, same thing, you know, didn't last real long, but long enough to get a feel for it. And he, you know, he thought it was a lot of fun. And I was like, all right, you know, that's cool. And then that was it, you know, and then he kind of quit talking about it. And then a few weeks later, he started talking again, like, hey, I want to ride some more. And I just kind of sat down with him and I said, do you really want to do this? I mean, if you want to do this, we'll go all in, you know, we'll get you the gear and we'll start working on it. We'll start training. We'll start doing this, but we're not going to be a casual bull rider here, you know, like, one weekend I'll ride, the next I won't, you know, that kind of deal. I said, it's too dangerous of a sport to be casually committed to it. You either are or you aren't, you know. And so he thought about it for a little while and he thought, you know what, I'm not all in. I'm not as passionate about it as I should be. And so, you know, we made the decision that he should stick with baseball and just focus on that and not worry about getting banged up, because bull riding, as you know, is an extremely dangerous sport. So you're likely to get hurt, and that you're more likely to get hurt if you're not fully dedicated to it. If you're just kind of like, oh, I'll do it for fun, you're going to be a little apprehensive about getting hurt. But the guys that are successful are the guys that don't care if they get hurt. They're willing to pay that price because that's what they want to do. And so that's why I encouraged him to, you know, say, well, let's focus on baseball and not worry about riding bulls. So and my youngest son, he's not even remotely interested in it. He loves animals.
Really?
Yeah, he loves animals, horses and stuff, but he's not the daredevil type. And again, he's only eight, so maybe by the time he's 10, you know, he may change his mind, but right now he's not even interested in getting on a bull. So and you know, and I don't discourage him, but I'm not going to push him to be a bull rider, you know. I'm not one of those parents that wants to live through my kids, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, well, you have to kind of let them figure out what it is that they're passionate about and follow that.
Yep.
I know that your faith, I mean, obviously you're an ordained minister. Your faith has always been a huge part of your bull riding career. And I was just wondering if you could expand on that a little bit.
Yeah, I was 18 when I really became a committed follower of Jesus Christ. I was kind of standoffish towards religion. I was exposed to religion, and I just didn't like the sound of it, you know. And when I say religion, I mean following rules, trying to earn God's love, earn God's favor, kind of thing, working to go to heaven or whatever. I just didn't like that. And when I was 18, I went to this church, and the message there was not anything about do this, do that, you know, God will, if you don't, God will get you. If you do, God will bless you, kind of thing. It was all about how much God loves you and what he did by, you know, Jesus Christ dying on that cross for us to go to heaven, for us to be forgiven of our sins. And that immediately struck a chord in me, and I became a committed Christian. And so bull riding was kind of my thing, you know. Bull riding was all my life revolved around at that time. I was 18, and it kind of shook my world, because now, you know, the way I understand it is, if you're, as a Christian, ultimately God should be in the center of your life. And so I had a kind of a conflict there, you know. I started struggling with, all right, how do I transition from being bull riding centered to being God centered, but still being a bull rider, you know? And basically I just, you know, laid it all out there, and I, you know, I talked to God, I pray, and I just said, Lord, if you, you know, I want to ride bulls. I love riding bulls, but I want to do it to honor you. I want to do it to spread your message of how much you love people. And if you want me to quit riding bulls, I'll quit riding bulls and do something else, you know? And at that time, I kind of thought that God had a certain job that he wanted each person to do. And so I was hoping that job for me was bull riding. But now I've come to understand the way I look at it is, God gives us the choice of whatever we want to do with our life, you know, work and fun and all that. But he wants us to, whatever we do, he wants us to do it to honor him, you know, and to give him glory and honor and praise, and to do it the right way. And so, you know, I went to riding bulls and just started becoming a, what my dad would call a Jesus freak. And you know, it was all about sharing the Lord with people and just telling them how awesome God was. It was almost like a, you know, I just won the lottery. I just couldn't shut up about it. And, you know, some of my old friends were like, man, what's going on with Wiley? He's going nuts. But I was just hardcore, you know, telling people how good God was. And you know, when you're riding bulls, you're facing death in a way. You know, every time you get on a bull, the thought crosses your mind that, you know, this could go bad, and the bull could step on my head or something, and this could be it. You know, it could kill me. So knowing that, man, I'm going to heaven when I die, it almost like made me invincible in my mind. You know, like, what, you know, what's the worst that's going to happen to me is, you know, I get killed and I'm going to heaven. Who cares? You know, that's, you know, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. So it kind of gave me a foundation there to, when I'm riding, that I didn't have to worry about, you know, what happens when you die. Is there a heaven? Is there a hell? Is there nothing? Is there a God? You know, it answered all those questions for me. And just knowing that God the Father loves me, you know, I didn't have to be afraid of him. I could trust him. And so then I just, you know, I just went at it. I just said, all right, Lord, I'm going to go ride bulls. And every time I was getting on one, you know, I was like, here we go, Lord, you know, keep me safe, protect me, and let's get it on, you know. And so, and even like the first injury that I had was I tore my knee up pretty bad. And this was back in, this was in 2004, really bad knee injury, just tore everything up. And I'm sitting in the sports med room. This is at a PBR event. I'm sitting in the sports med room. It's the season just started. I had the best season of my life in 2003. I ended up I think, third in the world. So 2004, man, I was on fire. I was like, all right, it's time to win this thing. And so first part of the season, I'm injured, you know, and the doctor's basically like, well, your ACL's tore, your MCL's tore, your meniscus, all this stuff. And he's like, you're probably 6 months out if you have surgery. And I was just sitting there like, just almost in tears, you know, heartbroken. My heart's heavy. I'm thinking, what's going on? Come on, God, you know, what the heck? And I just get this sense of peace. Like God said, it's all right. I got this under control. You don't know everything I do. So just trust me. And I just started thanking God. Like, I don't know why, but it just like, all right, God, I don't know what's going on, but I know you do, and I trust you, and I know that you love me, so I can stand on that. And it just gave me this peace, you know, that I couldn't understand. The Bible says that. It says that, you know, don't be anxious for anything, but in all things, lay your requests down before God and just start thanking him, and the peace that passes all understanding will come into your heart, basically. You get the peace of that is beyond understanding. That's what happened to me in that locker room. And so I just went home. I said, all right, I guess I get a little 6 month vacation from riding bulls and just heal up and focus on getting better. And so it just, that kind of stuff is, I think, you know, we all need that. We all need that foundation that when we go through hard times, we have something to stand on. And I stand on the fact that God and the God of all creation loves me, and I can trust him fully. Even if I don't understand it, I could still trust him. And that's kind of what carried me through, you know, all those ups and downs of bull riding, and gave me the purpose, you know, why ride bulls? Why put your life on the line every time, you know, two or three times a weekend or whatever? And it was all for that purpose, is to help people see that, you know, the true God and who he really is. So
do you think that when you sort of started to develop your faith, did your bull riding improve at the same time?
Yeah, I think so. I think it gave me more confidence. You know, I was pretty apprehensive. I haven't always been a very confident person, like confident, not, I'm not real self-confident, I guess. There's some people that just, they think they can walk through anything, you know, and I was always the one that was like, I don't know, is this safe? You know, I was real cautious. And that's, you know, when I came to know the Lord, when I became a Christian, it just gave me that more, just that extra push of confidence that, all right, I got God on my side here. We can do this. And even when I was doubting myself, you know, I could fall back on that and say, well, God, you're with me, and I'm just going to do what I can and, you know, leave it in your hands. So I think it did kind of give me that extra level of confidence. And then I just continued to work. You know, you can't say that, oh, just become a Christian and then just magically you'll get all the skills, you know, all that you need. You know, it's not God's not a genie in a bottle kind of thing where you rub it and you get all your wishes come true. It's really just you keep doing what you're doing, you keep making the right choices, and God will bless you. You know, that's how God, you know, set this whole thing up, is there's you reap what you sow kind of thing. But underneath it all is just that foundation that God is, you know, God loves me and I can trust him. And that's, I think that's kind of what really gave me that confidence, was just knowing that whatever I go through, God's with me and it'll all work out, you know, and having a message to bring somebody, you know, having a purpose, like, you know, my purpose for riding bulls wasn't just to win buckles and money, which is nice, but eventually you start thinking, what's the deeper purpose here? What makes people great? You know, it's not, oh, wow, that person is so great, they made $3 million a year, you know? You never look at people's bank accounts and say, man, that's a great person. It's always the impact that they've had on you or on others in the world. And that's what God has given me is just that purpose. You know, like, okay, my purpose here is not to win as much as I can or to have as much fun as I can, but to try to bless other people as much as I can. So
that's definitely a nice way to look at life, is how can I have the biggest impact on others and bring the most joy to other people? So I like that. I like that attitude, Wiley.
Thanks. Try anyways. I don't always have that good attitude. So,
so what year did you retire?
I officially retired in 2012.
Okay.
The last bull I got on was in the end of 2011, though. So
what was it that sort of led you to that decision that it was the right time to kind of make an official end to your career?
Good question. you know, I always told, you know, I always talked, like I said, I talked to God. So I always told God, all right, Lord, if you want me to quit riding bulls at any time, you just tell me and I will do it. But I knew that it wasn't going to be a simple, all right, Wiley, it's time to quit. I was going to have to be convinced, you know. And the last couple years of my career, I started thinking the fun was kind of leaving, you know, the actual part of riding bulls was not fun anymore. I enjoyed the interaction with the fans. I enjoyed talking to people about the Lord. I enjoyed that. I obviously enjoyed winning, you know, making money and that kind of stuff. But the actual task of getting on one of the rankest bulls in the world every, you know, every night started to kind of started to go away. I don't know if it was just wisdom, like, I'm, you know, what am I doing here? I'm 30 years old and still riding bulls, you know, and I don't know what it was, but just it started becoming more like a job to me. And obviously you can't, you know, I couldn't just quit riding bulls and just keep going around talking to fans and making money, because, you know, me riding bulls was directly tied to how my success. So I kind of had that dilemma there, you know, and I started thinking about, okay, what am I going to do when I'm done riding bulls? Cause 35, you know, if you're a 35 year old bull rider, you've kind of reached the end of your career, you know, usually most, mm-hmm. you know, on average. So I knew it was coming to the end. And so I started thinking about what I could do. That's why I went and got certified as a personal trainer, because I thought, well, maybe I can work with bull riders as a personal trainer and help them, you know, learn how to work out to be, you know, to ride bulls better and things like that. Then I started thinking, well, okay, maybe I could do bull riding clinics, maybe I can do coaching, stuff like that. Try to think of, you know, business ways of staying involved with the sport and still make a living, you know. And so I was chewing on all that. I tried some multi-level marketing stuff too, you know, people, oh, get these guys signed up and you'll make money, and that didn't work either. So I was really searching while I was still trying to ride bulls. And in 2010, I went to the World Finals, and all that whole year, 2010, my shoulder was hurting pretty bad. So after the finals in 2010, I went and got my shoulder checked out, and I had a fracture on my shoulder. So I had surgery. So most of 2011, I was out because I was out with an injury, shoulder surgery. And so towards the middle of 2011, I came back, started riding in the Touring Pros, the lower level of the PBR, just to kind of get back in the groove of things. And I go to my first televised event. And so they only give you a certain number of televised events when you're out for an injury. So I wanted to make it count. The first televised event back, I pull my groin. So I'm out again another month. By then the season's over and I'm thinking, geez, you know, that season came and went. So I thought, well, I'll just go practice, get ready for, you know, for the next year and be ready to go. 2012, I'll really give it a really strong go at it and see what happens, and then kind of make my decision after that year. So the end of 2011, I go get on some practice bulls, and I end up third bull I get on, I jump off, I go to get off of him, and my rope catches, or my spur catches in my rope, and I get kind of thrown to the ground kind of weird, and I land on my leg underneath me, and it hyperflexed. So I basically broke a piece of my kneecap, and I tore meniscus, and my ACL was already gone in that knee, so that wasn't a problem. But so that basically screwed up my knee. So now I'm in the orthopedic surgeon talking about knee surgery, and I said, all right, let's just get the surgery done. And that kind of was the final straw, I guess, is like, all right, you know what? I'm tired of surgeries. I'm tired of, you know, fighting this. I'm not, my heart's not in it. I'm worried about getting hurt. And so I made that decision to quit riding bulls. I had no idea. I was like, I'm, you know, I don't know how I'm going to make a living after this, but I'll figure it out, you know? So I made the decision to retire from riding bulls.
Yeah.
It was tough.
Seems like, I bet it was. It seems kind of like maybe you were getting some messages there, though, with all those injuries happening.
It was a tough, you know, it was almost like God had to knock me in the head to, you know, and it's hard to say. Who knows? Maybe me thinking about getting hurt more, being a little bit apprehensive can cause that too. You know, if you're apprehensive about getting hurt, usually, you know, there's a good chance you will get hurt. So who knows? But I should have known when I was showing up to the bull ridings and I just wasn't craving it. Mm-hmm. I should have known, okay, it's probably time to quit riding. But when you're in it and you're qualified, basically, you know, when you qualify for that upper level of the PBR, they don't ask you if you want to come. They tell you you're coming. So you're basically like you're on the draw. So you don't call them and say, you know what, I'm not feeling it this weekend, guys. I'm just going to stay home. They want you there. So it's not something that you can come and go as you please, you know. So I felt like I was kind of stuck in there, you know, and had no option. Either I keep riding or I totally quit. And so it took that drastic of a, I guess, of an injury of a season to make me finally retire.
Yeah, I guess, I mean, the PBR, it seems, is kind of more of a job than like your typical rodeo where you can turn out or whatever if you want to.
Yeah, the PBR is big. It's business, you know. It's
right.
It's all, when you get there, there's meetings, there's, you know, you're required to sign autographs. I mean, throughout the day, you'll have autograph sessions that you got to go to. It's not just kind of do what you want. It's, you're basically under their control. Mm-hmm. And they, you know, they want to, obviously, fans are paying a lot of money for tickets and things like that. And the success of the PBR is directly related to how happy the fans are. And so it's all about, you know, making the fans happy. And so the PBR really has a lot of control over what the bull riders do or don't do. And so, yeah, like you said, it's more kind of locked in there and almost like you're under a contract in a way.
Yeah. Which also speaks to probably a big part of the reason the PBR has had such success too, is, you know, they do really run it like a business.
Yeah. Yeah. There's the good and there's the bad, you know. A lot of guys I talk to say that going to a rodeo is so much more fun because it's so laid back and it's kind of the way it used to be before, you know? So I encourage guys who are up and coming to go and just go rodeo for a little while, you know, get a good two or three years rodeoing, figure out how to travel and all that. Then if you feel like you're ready to go to the PBR level, do it. But again, PBR is a different level. It's a tough level to be at. So it's, you know, definitely gotta weigh all the options, you know?
So a couple of years ago, was it 2012, you and Dustin Elliott started Bull Rider Coach?
Yep. Yeah. Towards the end of 2011, I was talking to Dustin about, you know, what I'm doing, you know, and I guess it was 2012 because he'd seen the announcement that I retired. And so he called me and said, "Now what you doing, you know? What's the plan now, you know?" And so I started talking to him about what I was thinking, you know, and about the bull rider coach thing. And he's like, "Oh, yeah, that's exactly kind of what I was thinking, is putting together a system for bull riders coaching and teaching and things like that." And so I said, "Well, why don't we work together on it and we can kind of collaborate here and you know, he's in Nebraska, I'm in Idaho, and we could put this thing together." And so that's what we did.
Well, what exactly is Bull Rider Coach, and sort of what are the elements involved?
Basically, Bull Rider Coach is a training system for bull riders. So we originally, our idea was to make it like a membership site where, you know, you pay a monthly fee and then you're a member. And then as a member, you get access to all of our coaching videos, articles, and access to us as coaches. But we put it all together. We launched it and maybe we didn't wait long enough. I don't know. We didn't get very many people signed up as members. So then we started thinking, why don't we just put this out there? A free, you know, free service. People can watch the videos, read the articles, all that. And then we'll just offer products and clinics, bull riding clinics to people, and then possibly, you know, make some money that way. So that's what we did. And it's in short, we're just trying to create a comprehensive system for bull riders, education, you know, training, everything from how to ride bulls all the way to the business side of stuff, like how to enter, how to travel, how to, you know, how to work out, how to, you know, mentally, how to prepare mentally, that kind of stuff. So it's a process and we're working on it slowly but surely. And, you know, so it's come along pretty good. It's fun to do, you know, stay involved with it and things like that.
Yeah, I know I've obviously watched several of your videos and I'm not a bull rider, but I can tell that you guys have done a really good job of putting together really helpful stuff. Everything from exercises to do to gear that you need. And I mean, I would think for any beginning bull rider, it'd be really, really helpful.
Yeah, I thought, you know, if there was something like this when I was a kid, because I was so, like I said, I was so motivated to be a bull rider that I was doing everything anybody would ever tell me, I would do it. And so if I had a video like that, like of professional bull riders who knew what they were talking about, videos of what to do and how to train, I'd have been all over that. I'd have been like, oh yeah, this is, now I know how to, you know, what I need to do with my riding arm and free arm and all that. So that was the idea, is do something that we would have liked to have as grown up, as, you know, as kids.
Mm-hmm. Now, and you put on several clinics throughout the year in various locations, right?
Yeah, more so here lately. Just been doing it around where I live, you know, Idaho, Utah, Montana, Wyoming, and that. Just for the simple fact that it's, you know, it's pretty expensive to fly, obviously. And then we have a lot of equipment that we use in bull rider training. So here lately I've done about three clinics just in this northwest region.
Do you just put those on yourself, or do you have people that request to have them at different locations, or how does that work?
A little bit of both. Mostly I just kind of put some stuff to, if I hear somebody that's interested or wanting to do a clinic, then I'll put one on and see, you know, hopefully we get enough people to show up and things like that and see what the response is. But it's a little bit of both. Sometimes I have people contact me saying, "Hey, I want to do a bull riding clinic. How do we do it?" And then we work that out and stuff. So yeah, it can go both ways, but it's easier, obviously, if I don't live in the area, it's easier if I have somebody that lives there that has contacts to, you know, for contractors, bullfighters, can get the word out in the area to bull riders and things like that. It's easier that way, you know, if it's not, you know, my hometown or whatever. So I definitely, helps to have somebody in the area, a local contact that we that I can work with to put a clinic on.
Well, that makes sense. Now, you and I have talked before about a lot of calls that you get from people interested in just sort of wanting to cross bull riding off their bucket list. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, you know, bull riding's an extreme sport, so it's probably one of those things that somebody, you know, they might see it and go, man, I'd like to do that one day, you know. And so, yeah, occasionally we get people who want to come and just get on a bull just to try it. And I think it's smart to do it through us or a, you know, a trained professional who knows how to do it and can give you the right pointers and kind of prepare you before you get on. So yeah, we occasionally get people that fall in that category of, you know, just I want to just cross it off my bucket list, and so we try to help them out if we can.
What advice would you give to someone who wants to get into bull riding or maybe even make a career out of it like you have? You know, what would be your top advice for somebody like that?
Well, obviously, you know, if they've never been to a clinic, they don't know anything about bull riding, go to a clinic. Go, you know, before they go to the clinic, even watch the videos that we have, read the articles, get the ebook, the Bull Rider Basics ebook that we offer, and really study up on it and kind of get a good idea of what's going to be talked about, and then go to a clinic, and then we'll match you up with the right, you know, the right caliber of bull, and you're not, you know, it's the safest possible environment to ride a bull. And then we're going to give you the tools and the things that you need to work on. And then you've got to go home and you've got to start working on it. You've got to start training. You've got to start preparing. You know, it's just like any other sport. You can't just go to a camp one weekend and then think, all right, I'm ready to go play baseball or whatever. You know, you've got to work at it. You've got to practice and train. And so after you go to a clinic, you've got the idea of what you need to be doing. Find some people in the area that are doing it, that are riding bulls the right way, you know, making good choices and working hard at it, and start hanging with them, get in with them, find a practice pen, you know, all these things. Like I said, all the ingredients got to come together, and the more you immerse yourself in the system, you know, of finding the right friends, the right practice environment, you're training on a regular basis, you have the right training tools, you're working out, all this stuff. You're mentally, you're visualizing, you're preparing, you're watching videos, you're just studying it. The more you do that, the quicker you're going to see results. And you know, it's for bull riding too. There's a certain body type, a certain build that's ideal for bull riding. You know, if you're 6'5" and 250 pounds, that, you know, the likelihood of you being a bull rider is pretty slim. You're a big guy, you're heavy, it's bull riding's a typically a smaller type of guy, you know, like a 5'6" is kind of the average. I'm tall, I'm 6 foot, but I'm, you know, more athletically built for it. So you know, there is that factor that you can't. I don't want to say to people, hey, you can't be a bull rider because you're too big, because that's not totally true. But the bigger you are, the harder you're going to have to work, the more difficult it will be to be a successful bull rider. So that comes into play too. So, but if, you know, if everything's coming together, you're pretty athletic, you've got good balance, you're pretty coordinated with your mind and your body are very coordinated, and then you got a good work ethic, set some goals and go for it, man. That's it. Just put it all together and just lay it all on the line.
So not everyone necessarily has access to somewhere near where they live where they can go get on a bull every week or whatever. How much can they do to sort of prepare without getting on a bull? I mean, I know there's a lot of, you know, tools and drills and things you can do on the bucket machine or whatever, but how often do they need to get on an actual bull? Like, talk about that a little bit, if you would.
Yeah, well, we have what's called our pro bull trainer, and that's kind of a mechanical bull for bull rider training. You know, that's a great way to kind of get that. It's kind of like a batting cage for baseball players. You can go and work on your riding technique. It slows it down. It's really good to get kind of the idea of what I need to be doing every time the bull's jumping and kicking. You know, this is where I need to be, body, my position. Everything's got to work together all at once, and it's happening really fast during a ride. You don't have time to think about it when you get on a real bull. So repetition is the key to getting that good skill set, right? Now, once you've got that, you know, you've got that technique figured out, you're working on it, you're constantly working on it, you've got to get on bulls. You can't be a bull rider without getting on bulls. And the more bulls you can get on, the better. And I don't mean just any bull, just go get on a bull out in the field or whatever. But you've got to be selective in the bulls that you do get on, because there are levels of skill for bulls. So PBR bulls are obviously the pro bulls. I mean, they're rank. And when I say rank, I mean, that means they will buck you off really fast. So they're hard to ride. So you don't want to just go get on anywhere. You want to, you know, look up some stock contractors, rodeo contractors in the area, give them a call and say, hey, do you do any practice buck outs or anything like that? Usually they do, or they'll work with you. They're willing to, you know, to help accommodate you. But make sure that you don't just go get on their bulls that they're hoping will be in the PBR someday. Get on the bulls that you can really practice on, really at your level. If you're a beginner bull rider, get on beginner type bulls that just jump, kick, you know, and kind of slower, and they don't move as fast, they don't jump as high, and they're not as mean, you know. Do that for a while till those become easy, to where it's like, all right, this is boring now. Step it up a notch, you know. Just continue to challenge yourself. It's progression, you know. And the problem I see with the sport of bull riding, and I think the sport of bull riding is in trouble, because what's happened is the bulls, they've figured out science has a lot to do with how rank a bull is or how good a bull bucking bull is. And so this breeding program has caused the bull riding, the bucking bull industry to basically explode with all these higher end or higher scoring bucking bulls. So it's kind of like peewee baseball player wants to learn how to play baseball. So he goes to the field, the baseball field, and there's a major league baseball player, a pitcher there, and he says, all right, get in here with this guy and try to hit his 103 mile an hour fastball. It's not going to happen. The kid's going to, you know, after 15 throws, he's going to be like, I can't do this, and he's going to quit. And that's kind of what's happening with the sport of bull riding, is these guys want to learn how to ride bulls, so they go to get on some bulls. Well, all the bulls are basically bred to buck, so they buck mm-hmm. too hard. And these guys are getting slammed and getting hurt because they're out of their league. And they're like, mm-hmm. well, I can't do this. I'm not, you know, I'm getting hurt, or this isn't fun anymore. So they quit. Or the ones who are determined enough keep going, keep riding, keep getting on. But they don't have any confidence because they never stay on a bull. You know, they just get bucked off every time, but they still keep going. So mm-hmm. what I'm seeing is that we need more bulls that are good progression type bulls, good bulls that guys can go get on that aren't too rank. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I don't know. The problem, the sport needs that kind of thing, that they need contractors, people that own bulls, to have bulls that guys who are at the beginning level or intermediate level can get on to really hone their skills. And, so that's, you know, that's my precaution there for guys who are looking for whether or not you need to get on bulls or not. Yeah, you've got to get on bulls, but don't just go get on any bulls. Get on the right kind of bulls. Look for people who have some just good high school level or beginner level type bulls. You got to be careful on that.
Yeah, I guess there's probably not as much money and as much glory in the ones that don't buck as hard, huh?
Right. That's the problem is, you know, the rankest bull in the world costs just as much to feed as the bull that doesn't buck at all. So, you know, contractors are like, I want to get rid of these bulls that don't aren't making me any money. But if, you know, if we got all these ranked bulls but no bull riders to get on them, it's not going to be much of a sport. So something's got to change.
That's a good point. I've never thought about that. Maybe you need to start breeding some bucking bulls, Wiley.
No, that's not the solution.
I thought it sounded like a pretty good one.
That's the problem. We got too many people breeding bucking bulls. We need people to breed bull rider clinic bulls.
Well, that's what I meant. I meant kind of the little bit nicer, kinder, sweeter bucking bulls.
Yeah. I actually, a buddy of mine, his boys, they started riding at one of my clinics. And so now they're, you know, one's in college and the other one's in high school. And he started buying bulls for that reason, you know, easy bulls for his kids to get on. And so he's one of the guys that I use. I use his bulls at my clinics. We just had one last month at his place, and he's just got really good practice bulls. You know, some of them spin, some of them just jump kick, but they're not mean, anything like that. They're not real fast, you know, and that's what we need, if, you know, more of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, just a good business idea for somebody right there.
Yep.
Provide bulls for all the clinics across the country.
Right.
So, Where can the listeners find you online, Wiley? What are some of your different places that they can look you up?
Well, my personal website is wileypeterson.com, WileyPeterson.com. And then bullridercoach.com, all one word. And that's the main places. Then we're on Facebook, of course, you know, Bullrider Coach, and my fan page, Wiley Peterson Christian Bull Rider, is on Facebook too. So,
and you're also on Twitter, right?
Oh yeah, Twitter, Instagram, I got it all. Socialite here, you know.
I'll put the links to all those in the show notes so people can find those after this goes up. Mm-hmm. And I just have one final question for you before we wrap up here today. What do you think is the most important quality for every good cowboy to have?
That's a deep philosophical question there. what's the most important quality for a good cowboy to have? I think character. I think having integrity to me says a lot. You know, I really respect people that do the right thing. Even when no one's looking, even when they don't have to, when, you know, they find, you know, a wallet in the middle of the parking lot and it's full of cash, they take the wallet and go turn it in and say, look, I found this, you know, somebody lost it. That, I think, to me, that is what a good cowboy is somebody that does the right thing all the time. Because a lot, you know, when I think a cowboy, you know, I don't think of bull riders. I think of the guy out on the ranch that's working cattle and, you know, taking care of horses and things like that. And, you know, when you're a cowboy, there's not a lot of people around and nobody's watching you. But if you do the right thing and you have that integrity, that character, I think that's what makes you a good cowboy.
I would have to agree.
Thanks.
Well, thank you so much for being on the show today, Wiley. I really appreciate it. And I think people are going to get a lot out of it and hopefully give some good advice to some aspiring bull riders out there.
Yeah, I enjoyed talking to you and I like your website. It's awesome.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I really hope you enjoyed that interview with Wiley. He is such a great guy and I was just really excited to have him on the show. Not only does he have a great story in regard to his bull riding career, but the wisdom that he has for other young bull riders just getting started is completely invaluable. You can find links to Wiley's website and all his social media profiles in the show notes section on earnyourspurs.com. And you'll find his episode at earnyourspurs.com/episode8. As always, I love to hear from you guys. So please send me an email, find me on Facebook, find me on Twitter. Getting notes from you guys just totally makes my day. Thank you so much for being here, and I'll see you next week.
For listening to the Earn Your Spurs podcast. Until next time, happy trails and spur on.